All right, everybody, welcome to the QU podcast. We've got the first podcast here in the new QU studios here in 2020. It's been an interesting year so far, but before we get into anything, I wanted everybody to introduce themselves. I'm Will Connerly, one of the hosts of this show, and I'll pass it along. Alex, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Alex Aubuchon. I'm a junior here at Quincy University. I am a baseball player and a communications major.
I'm Wyatt Randolph. I am a senior here at Quincy University, and I am turning into a comm major.
Turning into a comm major. How about you, Shane?
My name is Shane Holsey. I'm a senior here at QU. I'm a multimedia communications major.
Amen. Everybody said the major. I was a sport management major. I now later graduate. I'm a graduate assistant here with the university. But speaking of the university and talking about things that have been going on with Quincy, we're just a couple days back, and we saw some interesting things happen on campus and happen with the campus community as things came back. And a very unique year this year, isn't it, big guys? It's been very unique, to say the least. But when we dive into that specifically, you see that some students started to get a petition together, and it got some traction, didn't it? They got, what'd they get, over 250, 260
284
signatures? 284 signatures. And we're kind of going to dive into that today and see what your guys' comments are. And just, and then also unpack it, because also the president, Dr. Brian McGee, responded to it. But the petition itself was just talking about how the students are very confused about the rules that have kind of been introduced to the students in 2020, 2021. Both of you two are undergraduate students. Shane, you are as well. I want to know what you guys think about that. Have you been confused of the rules so far when you come back? I don't know. You guys are all on campus, correct?
Correct, yeah.
On campus students. And what do you think of the rules? Have you been confused? Do you have clarity when you're trying to understand the rules and regulations? Because obviously there's different rules and regulations in 2020, 2021.
Right. What I've experienced is I'm learning the rules on the fly. There wasn't like a specific email I'm reading or rules set out. It's, oh, I have to break a rule first for somebody to be like, you can't do that. And that's going into people's dorm buildings. That's walking around outside without a mask on. You know, people will come up to you and say, you can't do that. And so I just have to learn as I go.
I definitely agree with you, Wyatt. I didn't really, you know, have a great understanding of all of the rules and regulations that would be set into place before I got here, and that's something I would have liked to have known. I feel like, just like you do, that, you know, kind of like walking on broken glass right now. You know, you have to mess up to figure out what you really need to be doing. And in a situation like this, that just doesn't seem like it's a great idea.
No. Trial and error shouldn't be, like, going into this new school environment in COVID, you know, trying to figure it out that way. It should be very clear, I believe.
Yeah, Shane, but when we talk about trial and error, we talk about, I pose the question to you because you're somebody who's involved, obviously, in athletics. And in athletics, a lot of times you can have trial and error. You can miss a three-point shot. You can adjust your mechanics and get a better stroke. You can square up the baseball in a better manner once you learn the new mechanics. And they say that a lot of times strength can come from weakness. But in this situation, do you think that, what are your comments on the ability to go and learn in this environment? And we want to, obviously, the trial and error, it shouldn't be that way, you guys are saying, because there should be more preparation involved. And there should be at least more communication given to the students. Would you guys agree in that manner? But in terms of the trial and error, isn't it almost a necessity in an unprecedented time when there's no precedent to go off of now? What do you think, Shane?
You just said it. We've never seen anything like this before, so we don't really know what is right, what is wrong, what's the best way to do things. It's almost like we have to do something first to figure out whether that's a good idea or not. And if it's a good idea, we stick with it. If not, we get rid of it. But in this time, this is a time of adaptation, unlike anything any of us have ever seen, any of our parents have ever seen, probably any of our grandparents have ever seen if they weren't alive, say, for World War II. This is probably one of the craziest things we've seen since World War II. Like, the adjustments we have to make to our everyday lives over these past 5 months or so have just been incredible. And going back to school in the middle of a pandemic is something we've never done before. It's something nobody in charge has ever done before. It's almost like diving into a lake and you don't know how deep it is. Like, it could be 30 feet deep. It could be 100 feet deep. It could be 3 feet deep. We don't know. So we just kind of have to dive in head first and see what happens. But
No, you make a good point, Shane. And we talked about it before we went on the show. We a couple days into the semester, it seems like we got, 6 feet deep. You know, the shovel was in the dirt, and what happened is it seemed like things just happened really quickly, and the students felt like some of their they were treated unfairly because they talked about how they've prepared for a lot of the things that have happened going to happen on campus this summer. They had adequate time over the summer, and some of the students feel unfair about, how their cafeteria options have been treated. Or other things in terms of that. And another one in terms of when we look at the petition, they talk about one of the big things that they were looking at that they thought was inconsistent is about how they can't visit students from other dorms. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I know it is kind of a staple for coming to school is you want to interact with people. You want to get that at college experience. And it's kind of been halted when you learn that, if you want to do that, it has to be outside. And so that limits it. It probably has to be during the day between classes, because at night, it's kind of odd to be outside, I think. But I know that people are so adamant about still getting into those dorms that they're still doing it. Like Alex saw me yesterday around SLC, because I have friends there, and it is hard to not be able to interact with them in that way.
Yeah, like Wyatt was saying, the first night that I moved into the SLC, I went down into the lobby just to hang out with the RA that was on duty for a little bit, and there were quite a large amount of people coming in and out of there that I knew for a fact weren't living in the SLC. So, we can be mad about these rules, but it's still not necessarily following them. Even if they're mad about them, they're not following them. But we need to, just be understanding that the university is in a tough situation. There's a whole lot of liability here. And there's also probably a lot of things going on and situations that they've considered that, we just have no idea about. And it's just on a whole nother depth level. But that doesn't mean that, we as students can't try to hold them accountable for the things that we want. Obviously, that this is unprecedented and we're not going to have the same college experience that we used to or we could have or that others have had in the past. We know that. And no matter how hard we're going to try to make it that way, it's not going to be that way. So it's a little bit of give and take. We need to, work with the university and have them work with us.
And
first of all, give props to QU for trying to go back in person. There's so many schools around the country that have said, we're just going to go online, and QU is giving it a shot. And students, they might, like you said, they might not have the experience they were hoping for, especially I can't imagine the freshmen, how they feel like coming to college and 2020 for the first time, and this is their experience. I can't even imagine. But QU is doing its best to try to accommodate everybody. You can't please everybody. That's virtually impossible. And this is a time where we have to think of other people. Just think of not only yourself, what's best for yourself, but what's best for your neighbor, your roommate, your classmate, whoever it might be, your teachers, everybody, employees, everybody. Just do your best to protect other people and have to be unselfish during these times for things to work.
You hit the nail on the head there, Shane, because we can always, I mean, you look personally and you want something to take it, just a pair of shoes. You want a better pair of shoes. And then you look at it. Somebody doesn't even have a pair of shoes on them. You know, like someone always has it worse than you. So obviously be grateful for that situation. And I thought also, yeah, there was some inconsistencies in the regulations and the guidelines. But as a student, from our perspective, from people's perspective, you can actually run with those inconsistencies and actually be grateful that there are some gaps rather than no gaps. Because if there were no inconsistencies, the school may not even be open. And so I was thinking about that as well. Brian McGee, though, the president, he responded to this petition created by the students who, as you mentioned, 280 plus who had signed it in a student body that's around 1,000. And McGee said, "First, let me say that we welcome your questions and are happy to answer them. You are welcome to create petitions and we will read them. It is also quite easy to schedule a physically distanced meeting, send an email directly, or schedule a call with Dr. Tracy, me, or other campus leaders if you want more information or want to express more concerns." With the concerns being expressed, do you think that the university should make any changes? Do you think that moving in a different direction, taking some motion, taking some action is going to be present? Petitions can happen. They read it. But do you think change is going to come from it?
Well, I think that's the best decision that they can make is to address the students and make sure that they know that they've heard them. Because to ignore it, I feel like, would cause more people to be more confused and more uneasy about the whole thing. He says he was open to straight conversation, but I know that not a lot of people will reach out and try to figure that out. They'll just stay in their, "Oh, I'm uncomfortable with everything" kind of state and just hope that the university does a more public answer to everything.
Yeah, President McGee's response was pretty much up to snuff with what I expected. It looked exactly like I thought it would, you know, very official. It was tying all the loose ends. It was throwing the ball back in the students' court, saying, you know, you can come to us and talk to us. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get anywhere, but you can come speak to us if you want to. I agree with you that I think it was a good idea by them, or by the university, I should say, to be proactive and, you know, say something before the petition gets bigger or becomes a bigger issue. And try to address the problem immediately. I also saw that as far as, you know, the CAF was concerned, and, you know, students being unhappy about how much they're paying, as in they're paying, you know, the regular amount, and the portion sizes are a lot smaller, like almost minuscule, I would say. As I've been there twice, and they were pretty small. I went back in for seconds even.
Yeah.
But
and that's impressive for you.
I know. I'm not a very big guy. Do not eat seconds. But not very big portion sizes, still paying the same amount, was not addressed in the email.
Right.
And that's one thing it seems like you're frustrated about, and it seems like I've talked to other students, and you feel for people who have to pay the amount for the all-access meal plan, but they don't get the same options, and they don't – and obviously there's sacrifices, but when you talk about financial sacrifices for students coming back on campus when the situation could have been potentially different, it really is a frustration of yours. And Shane, I wanted to address the next part of it is you talked about it. They were working. Quincy University was one of the first universities I thought that said, "Hey, we're committed to coming back. We're committed to coming face to face." And so in Brian McGee's email, he also said, "Hey, this has been the result of months of work. They've attempted to balance the safety with other important needs of the community. They frequently have more information and expertise available to them that they say a lot of the students, none of you guys have." And so they're in contact with the Adams County Health Department, and they're working a lot of the times with information that we may not have, Shane.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff, the procedures and rules and everything, that's being discussed behind closed doors. We don't see those conversations. We don't know what those conversations are like with the health department, the CDC, all those. But, and it, you said it's, they were committed from the beginning almost. Whenever they decided to go virtual for the rest of the spring 2020 semester, that they were committed to coming back in the fall. They said that from the beginning, and they stuck to their guns and done everything they can to bring us back. And I think a smaller campus, a more intimate campus, you know, with 1,000 undergrad students or less, makes it a little easier than, say, a Mizzou that has God knows how many students on campus. Mm-hmm. But they're trying their absolute best, and it's not gonna work out for everybody. People are gonna be upset, and that's part of the dynamic of the United States. We can make a petition to try to make change, but we have to be forward about it. We can't hide behind closed doors and expect everything to be handed to us. We have to take action and put it upon ourselves to get things done.
Yeah, you talk about taking action, and I know a big part of the fall in terms of action is sports on campus. At least at Quincy University, 80% of students who live on campus are athletes. So they have more time on their hands, it seems like, because the game schedule is not as strenuous. There is no games with the NCAA's decision, and obviously the pandemic. They pushed everything to the spring. That's a whole nother podcast. But when we talk about the student body, and they're going to have to learn how to socialize. I guess this is just like in a different way. You know, you talk about social distancing, physical distancing. But one thing that was mentioned in the petition, I don't know what you guys think about it, is the mental health, the being around other people, interacting with other humans. How have you guys tried to manage interacting with other people, like you could say we're doing right now, while also trying to keep yourself safe?
Well, I've been trying to participate in all the events that people have been posting about. The Black Student Union had a barbecue yesterday, and I was able to attend that. And it was very weird because we all have masks on and everything, but people were still able to get their food and social distance and enjoy each other's company. McGee even came down to see everybody there and participate and eat a hot dog, I think. There are still ways to interact with people and still be safe. And I feel like if people participate, then their mental health should improve a bit on that, the social aspect of it.
And Alex, how long do you think this will go on?
How long do I think that this pandemic will go on?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a very large question. Well, I've heard many different answers. You know, I've heard November 5th. I've heard whenever the vaccine comes out. Personally, I don't really know. I had an interesting conversation actually the other day when I was getting my physical at the HFC with, I can't remember his name, but he was a doctor and he was giving me my physical, and I was just discussing with him about how long he thought it was going to last. And he said, I don't really know. It seems like everybody's answer is, just whenever the vaccine comes out, plus quite a bit of extra time, because, it takes some time to get 9 billion people a vaccine.
Yeah, it's a solid answer, and I think that you've heard the word, and we probably, I don't even want to say it, but the new normal. We've heard that word so many times. At least I have. I don't know about you guys. And part of that word just kind of makes you upset, doesn't it? Just like, wow. But like also, Shane brought up a great point. It's the fact of just talking about the new normal and leaving it there, I don't think the conversation can end there. You have to adapt. You have to adapt to changing times. I mean, times change all the time. I mean, things change every year. Maybe not to this dramatic effect ever, no. But, Shane, you mentioned adapting to the inconsistencies and being the best you can be still in a system that you may not agree with. How do you plan to approach that, Shane?
You just have to be open-minded, and you have to be open-minded but critical at the same time. You have to think what's best for me, what's best for my friends, what's best for everybody around me, and then just kind of evaluate what's going on around you. Just have an open mind and soak up everything and take everything in, and almost just do like an analysis of everything that's coming in. Say a new policy comes out that you're not really a fan of, maybe think, oh, maybe down the road, will this be better? Is it better for me now? Is it better for me later? Will it pay off in a couple of months, or will it just be, you know, beneficial for a week or two? In this time, we have to think down the road. We can't just think right now, right now. It's hard because we don't know what to expect. Nobody knows what to expect, but you have to think what's best for us long term. What's going to be best for us? Mm-hmm. What's going to protect us the most down the road?
And this too shall pass, right? But when you persevere, you always win. But I think this is really testing the grit, determination, and perseverance of our country, of our peers, of our friends, of our family. And one thing that I saw, and I wanted to talk about how students, one of their concerns was, and I thought it was a valid claim, at least some of it, was that they can go to class with people from different dorms. They can go to practice with people from different dorms. They can go to Walmart with people from the whole community, but they can't visit other people in different dorms. And they ended the petition with this: all students attending the university are adults and should be able to make these decisions for themselves. We feel as students that our basic rights as college students are being taken away. Now, in a private university, I don't know legally if their claim has too much to dig into, but I think they do have a very valid point that they are interacting with people from other classes and from other dorms, but they can't go visit those people in other dorms. That seems like an inconsistency to me. They said at the end of the petition that these issues and these regulations aren't beneficial and inconsistent. I would disagree that they aren't beneficial. They probably are beneficial, but I would agree that they are likely a little bit inconsistent. Why do you think that they aren't letting kids go to other dorms but able to do other things while interacting with students from other dorms?
I'd say it's just the concentration of people in the rooms, because people will be more comfortable in the setting of a dorm, that they'd take off their mask, and then that would allow, you know, the virus to spread. But I also think it's just they are giving the people the freedom to interact with them outside. That's when they have their own discretion, and then you have the responsibility to, oh, I'm still going to wear my mask or I'm not. That's when you can make those decisions on your own. But they want to control it in the dorms, I feel, because they feel like that's more of their responsibility. That's part of the campus. That's part of the school. But that's the only thing I can see. But I'm not a medical expert.
Right, and none of us are. Yeah. But we're just trying to dive into, and also people, students listening to it, they want more information about what's going on with the school, because it feels like we just haven't had enough information. And as student media, we kind of have the job, even if we don't have a ton of information, to at least talk about it and at least provide what we think from what we know about what's going on. Because you'd agree, Alex, that's been the biggest issue. What's going on with this? There's inconsistencies. What can I do? What can't I do? What do you think about some of the potential inconsistencies that you've seen in moving forward, potentially what could be down the road for students at Quincy University?
Well, the inconsistencies, I mean, who really knows? So things are changing, you know, week by week. And how I really know that is when we had a meeting with our baseball coach, Coach Raby, just a couple of days ago, he said, you know, I threw out my planner. I usually, you know, fellas, I get you guys a schedule and we know what we're doing for the rest of the fall by now. But since, you know, I'm learning new things, I'm hearing new things from them, this is a new time, we don't know what's going on, I couldn't possibly put together a schedule. And I thought about that and I was like, I feel the exact same way. Like, things are changing so much every single week, call it an inconsistency or whatnot. We haven't, you know, had our first, or if we ever have, an outbreak or anything like that. But, like, if there would be one, you know, things will be changing each week. We're going to get a new email saying something has, you know, something's new, something isn't. And if we don't, then things are going well, hopefully, or they're just telling us something that we don't, you know, want to know. But I think, you know, I agree with Coach Raby's thought process. Things are, you know, changing so much that I definitely would not want to keep a planner, because I don't really know what the next week's going to look like.
Yeah, Shane, we don't know if you keep a planner or not, but What do you think about the plan in terms of, at least, wait, let me backtrack. What do you think about the students, and do you feel that their rights are being taken away? They made that claim, and is it a valid concern of theirs?
I mean, they do have a point when they say maybe their freedom, maybe rights might not be the right word. Maybe freedom as a college student is being taken away a little bit. I could definitely see that. But during these times, I mean, we've had so much that's been taken away over these past 5 months. I mean, yeah, we want to go see our friends in other dorms and interact with other people. And we can find safe ways to do that. The only way that we can be safe and do that is wear a mask. That's the only way we can, and wear a mask, social distance, and that's just about it. When you want to go visit somebody else in a enclosed space, that's all you really can do. And at some point, you have to, not to throw a medical term in there, but you kind of have to take your medicine to a certain extent and just understand that what we're doing now, if we wear a mask now and social distance now, a year from now, we can be back to what we were doing this time last year and not having to wear a mask and not having a social distance and be in big crowds and go to these sporting events and concerts and everything. We're doing all this stuff now so we can do what we were doing 6 months ago on down the road. If we don't take the precautions now, we can't do what we want to do, say, a year from now.
Do you think that the reason that people are making petitions and everybody signing it and everyone's frustrated about the rules is because whenever people were coming back to school, they are craving that like sense of normalcy from last year, from like they want to see their friends, they want to be out and have the college lifestyle. And then now they're kind of directing their frustrations right at the school, even though these frustrations should just be around, COVID and social distancing in general, because we had to do that before we came to school. But now that we're here and we expected to have our college freedom back, you know, how we usually would interact with everybody, now that it's gone, we're just directing it straight at the school instead of just the general frustration.
People are
routine oriented. People want to be in a familiar situation. They want to be comfortable with the situation they're in. And they were here, the students who were here last year, they know what that feeling is like going back to school, seeing all your friends you haven't seen for 3 or 4 months who live in other states, other countries even. But in this time, it's a totally different time. We have to learn to adapt, and it's an uncomfortable situation. This is an uncomfortable situation for everybody. Nobody is comfortable right now. And that's the one consistency with all this, is there is no consistency. So we have to try to find the silver lining as best we can.
Yeah. And back, you made a good comment about the freedoms you made and of course, look at over the summer, look at what happened just last March. And the school closed and we went home and we had it over the summer. I mean, it's been crazy, but we made it back here. And I think if we can at least stand on the fact that we are back at a university, that, you know, less than 50% of universities across the nation are able to do that right now, that's incredible. I mean, the learning environment that has been, I think, is just much better when you're in person. And that's a topic that we can talk about on a podcast, of course. But to the point that you made, I think that students feel that frustration, and who knows, did they feel that frustration before they got back on campus? Is it because they got back on campus and it's not the same? I think being in a routine, having a habit, and then it gets broken by something that's external that you can't control, where do you put that frustration? Everybody can, they tell you, control what you can control. And you have your attitude and your effort and everything in your sphere of influence, but there's so much it feels like we can't control right now. But it invokes a ton of different emotions, and we don't know how to properly express those. You know, you go back to the First Amendment. Our teacher, you know, Nora Baldner, whenever she emails us, that's what it says at the bottom of her email, the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And it goes on, but it seems like students are feeling that frustration. They want to express things, but they don't know how to do it in a safe, appropriate way during this time. Alex, what are your comments?
Well, I agree with what was being said about, you know, controlling what you can control, because, like you said, there's a lot of emotions that are being evoked out of what's going on here. And it's just stuff that's out of your control. And I know I'm certainly not the only person that's ever struggled with having or become worked up about something that's out of my control. It's happened many, many times to many, many people. And it's just... It's difficult when there's so much going on and you just, you know, have to remain even keel and just, you know, worry about what's in your space. You know, don't worry about what's going on outside, even though you still, you know, need to be wary of it. Just stay focused on, even if, you know, things aren't the way that they used to be or normal or whatever normal is, just, you know, work on what you can work on.
That's a good takeaway. And speaking of takeaways, wanted to start to wrap this up and move forward. The QU podcast, the first one, it's been fun to have everybody on here, Alex, Wyatt, Shane, and it's kind of fun. The nice studio. We get here, you know, weekly and just talk about top topics on campus, news on campus, and hopefully we have some more news for you next time. Closing thoughts, Wyatt?
My closing thought is I'm going to try to stay safe. And so I'm going to encourage everyone else to do the same. You know, just use common sense and try to have a good semester.
All right. Well, I mean, closing thoughts, you know, like I just said, do what you can. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Keep your distance. And remember that it's not just about keeping you safe. It's about keeping everyone safe.
Shane, how about you?
Yep, just make sure you do your best to keep your neighbor safe. I just saw a commercial the other day. It was a sequence of people wearing masks, and it say, Susie wears a mask to protect Nancy. Nancy wears a mask to protect Joe. Joe wears a mask to protect John. John wears a mask to protect, and so on and so forth. You just got to think of the person next to you, think of their health and safety, and do whatever you can to keep moving us forward.
Amen to that, brother. And Lizzo said that the truth hurts. And, you know, a lot of times there's no great answer right now, but we're going to try to bring you all the answers that we can. But this was for the first edition of the QU podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.